This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Today we are joined by Councillor Sally Clay to talk about reconnection. Hi Sally, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So we're told a lot of stories about what connections are meant to be like over the long term. I think one of the most common ones is that if you make a strong connection or a connection that's meant to be either a friendship or a romantic relationship, that it's always going to stay as strong as it was at the start and you'll never ever feel distant from each other. Is it normal for people in long-term relationships to have periods where they feel further away from each other?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sitting here giggling myself because I've been in a relationship with the same person for 21 years. And you definitely go through peaks and troughs of it being really easy and then other times being really difficult. And I think that is like everything in life. Life is hard. And, you know, the relationship with other people can be just as much about the relationship we have with ourselves. And if we sometimes have a tricky relationship with ourselves, it can be difficult for us to then connect to other people. But it is absolutely so normal to struggle. And relationships are work. It's not easy. It's not always easy to remember sometimes, especially if you have children or you have family or you've had hardships together, why you connected in the first place, because it can become so much about living your life and so little about the other person. You can almost isolate yourself, or particularly if you're raising a family, it becomes about the children and their needs and what they kind of expect, and you pour so much of yourself into that. Or if you're caring for an elderly relative, or if you have experienced a bereavement or something like that, you know, it can become so much about all of those things and you can actually neglect each other's needs. So then it's about, like you say, coming together with the other person. And one of the ways that has been quite fun for me to come together with my partner is to find out sort of love languages that there are. And some people don't really like the love languages theory, but I found it quite useful in some ways. So to find out the ways in which the person best expresses and receives love. So for example, it could be through acts of service, which is, you know, giving you a lift to the train station or doing the dishes, or, you know, there's all these little things that sometimes we do that we take for granted, but actually are because the person loves us. For example, my partner, he's really grumpy a lot of the time, but he always gives me a lift. And sometimes he'll say no because he wants to stay in bed or whatever. But in general, he's sighted, he drives, he recognises that when it's peeing down with rain, that it's really difficult for me to get somewhere sometimes. And so he will always say, oh, I'll take you to the subway. And that can be really special. So recognising those acts of service as a real expression of love. Whereas another person's love language might be touch or gift giving or something like that. You know, so there are many ways in which we can express love for each other. And they're not always the movie, the Cinderella ways of somebody like whisking you off with flowers to a ball. You know, they might be somebody putting your pajamas on your pillow for you, folded up, or someone bringing you a cup of tea or something like that. You know, it's really small things. The other thing I would say is that we have a lot of expectations on our partners to do everything, to meet all our emotional needs. And sometimes it's not possible for one person to meet all our emotional needs. And that's why we need friends or family or to connect with other people. So it's making those peripheral connections as well. And sometimes a friendship can actually be just as central a connection as a partner. I'm all about the identification of the unmet needs. So what are your needs at the moment? And knowing that, it's like, okay, who's going to meet those needs? When do I need to meet those needs? Because sometimes actually we need to meet them and we don't realize that we need to meet them, that we haven't kind of learned how to meet our own needs. And sometimes that isn't somebody else's responsibility, but sometimes it is. We need the other person to help us, or we need to connect. Sometimes as blind and partially sighted people, we can feel very lonely and isolated sometimes just due to the setup for us. And I think in those instances, it's about cherishing those maybe deeper connections that we do have, but also finding things that we can do ourselves to satisfy those needs. And where we need external help, then not being ashamed and punishing ourselves for going to get it. So if we need sometimes to have somebody come in and help us with the practical things, sometimes it's just as much about the emotional. So if we need a volunteer to come in, if we need a befriender, if we need those kind of things, that's okay. And that's understandable, given that sometimes our social needs aren't met in the same way as they might be if we had full vision.
Yeah, and for people who have lost their sight or experience a big challenge related to sight loss, there might be periods where you feel more distant from the sighted people in your life who can't understand your experiences in the same way as before. Is that something you've come across?
Yeah, how can they reconnect with themselves but also connect with other people who maybe aren't having the same experience set as them? And that's something that as a counsellor and as a person, I've worked through a lot as well, you know, connecting with people, fighting that disconnect and really struggling, having, you know, suddenly their experience is so different. This mammoth thing comes, you know, this tidal wave of sight loss comes and hits them or hits you. And then suddenly you're going, yeah, but no one understands, because when I talk about it, it's just conceptual to them. It's intellectual. It's not something that they have a bodily sense of or a true understanding of. And so in that instance, I would say it's about trying to find connection with other visually impaired people to some degree, maybe who are going through the same thing. And I know that RNIB has talk and support. If it becomes really difficult for you and you feel that you need help, RNIB does also have a counselling service, which you can access by contacting counselling@rnib.org.uk. There is a waiting list for it, but through the counselling environment, there is also access to phone groups where you can, I think they're facilitated by a counsellor and you can talk and meet with and discuss aspects of sight loss with other like-minded people or people going through similar experience. So I would definitely advocate connecting with other people who are going through that, but also recognizing that when you lose your sight or with any kind of sight loss, there comes an aspect of bereavement and trauma, and those two things, you know, do disconnect us from other people because we're trying to process something in our own body that's really difficult to process in a group situation. And sometimes we need to go into our little cocoon to figure that out. And then once we've figured that out ourselves, we come back into the connecting. But it is a different experience when you connect after a big trauma like that, the bereavement of losing your sight. It is tricky to come back, and maybe you're slightly different and it changes you. And that's okay too, to know that you might be changed, but sometimes with change comes growth, and that growth can be instrumental in helping you for the better.
And for people in that stage of wanting to connect with someone again, what are some of the things in your personal experience or your experience with clients that can be really helpful?
I think it's definitely about time as much as anything else. It's about recognizing that however self-contained you are, sometimes it's very important to connect with other people, and it might feel like a mammoth effort. Sometimes you're like, I'm too tired. I don't want to phone anybody. I don't want to do that. Sometimes it can actually be really important to take that step, to be brave and say, I'm going to, for example, if it is a partner. And I mean, I find this with my partner. Sometimes, you know, the kids go to bed and suddenly you just want to go to sleep. But actually taking that step out of the bed and saying, I'm going to go into the other room. I'm going to sit with them, even if it's for 10 minutes. So regular contact. Even if you have to schedule it in, which sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But sometimes it can become, you know, I think that is a necessary part of life, is to say making that regular contact can be really helpful. And also examining, I suppose, your beliefs around how that person views you, and saying to yourself, are those beliefs true? You know, oh, you know, you sometimes think, oh, this person doesn't like me anymore because I haven't heard from them. How true is that? You know, so examining your own thoughts and the validity of those beliefs around somebody. But also sometimes being there for other people can be just as helpful. You know, helping somebody else can be really helpful in making you feel a sense of purpose. And finally, I would say just being open to getting it wrong again, which is what I always keep going on about, which is knowing that it's not easy. You're going to make mistakes, and being kind to yourself when we do.
Well, thank you so much, Sally Clay, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio. For more interviews like this, tune in to our relationship show, Good Company, on the first Tuesday of each month at 7 p.m. and the first Sunday of each month at 8 p.m.